Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father. In the times of old, the people that Thou hast called to Thee, the family that Thou hast led from darkness to Thy light, by the voice of Thy truth, by obedience to Thy will, they bow down before Thee and worship Thee at the altars and with sacrifices, O Lord, that signify that in the due time Thou wilt send Thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, in a body and flesh that is similar to our own, to be the only man that ever walked upon the face of this earth, perfectly sinless, perfectly pure and holy, perfectly presenting that image of Thine in the sight of all men. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, they worship Thee in expectation of that deliverance that will come and that redemption that Thou hast promised. And today, O Father, we join with them and we worship Thy great and holy name. And we bow before Thee, O Heavenly Father, in our hearts, in our weak minds. We call upon Thy holy name, O Lord, in the name of that sacrifice that Thou hast prepared before the foundations of the world. In the name of Thy holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, O Lord, we pray that Thou today be in our midst by Thy Spirit and grant us Thy revelation and teach us, O Heavenly Father, how to trust in Thee. Teach us, O Lord God Almighty, how to do Thy will, how to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and to belong to Thee, to love Thee, to be united in Christ, to worship Thee with our heart and mind, soul and body, that we also may have a burnt sacrifice to offer unto Thee, that we also may have, O Heavenly Father, upon the altar of our faith, that fragrance, that in praises and prayer to Thy holy name may ascend up into Thy heavenly heights. And from the censer of our great High Priest be offered before Thy holy throne and be acceptable and pleasant to Thee. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, in this world there is no place where we could find safety and rest. In this world, O Heavenly Father, there is but darkness and evil. And in this world, O Lord God Almighty, is Babylon and Egypt and Sodom, where our Savior was crucified. O grant us, grant Thy strength and power to our faith, O Lord, that we also may be crucified to the world and to all the evils thereof, that our soul may be free free from vanity and pride, free from lust of the flesh and lust of eyes, free from bitterness, wrath, envy, vengeance, and every wickedness, free in Christ. The Passover lamb, the blood of whom is the only purification of our souls and the only blood that can wash away our sins. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou art our only Creator and Thou art our only Savior. We do praise Thee for Thy great goodness and mercy, Lord. We thank Thee for Thy love and compassion. And we see, O Heavenly Father, that this whole creation, after so many thousands of years of sin and evil, after so many centuries of corruption, O Thou Holy One, Thou All-Gracious One, this whole creation still bears the seal of the Creator. Still the power of Thy Spirit is giving life to this universe. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may in the similar way Thy word, after so many centuries being recorded in this book, bear the seal of Thy revelation and radiate the brightness of Thy truth and Thy light upon our hearts and minds today. O guide us Thou and protect us Thou. Lead us and teach us. Make us free in Christ, free in Thy Spirit, pure and holy, righteous, godly. Grant us that loving and understanding heart of our Redeemer, loving and forgiving, peaceful soul that Thou hast redeemed. Gracious Lord, we pray in the name of our Savior that Thou give us that precious gift, the pearl that is found in the field of true godliness. Make us Thou Christ-like, that we may always walk in meekness with a humble heart, and yet with all the courage defending the honor of Thee, our Heavenly Father. Lead us Thou and teach us Thou. Thou make us faithful and fruitful. Thou, O Heavenly Father, bless Thy holy word in our hearts. Illuminate our minds with true understanding, clear understanding of Thy will. May our life be a continuous sacrifice, an offering burning in the heavenly flames of love and zeal for Thy will, so that we never grow weak nor weary, but that we serve Thee continually until that moment when Thou wilt call us back to that yonder home, that our soul may be carried by the angels into that domain of love and peace, into that realm of perfect, endless freedom and liberty to worship Thee without weaknesses and shortcomings and mistakes that often plague our soul here. Gracious Lord, we thank Thee for this privilege of worshipping Thee, praying together, sharing Thy holy word. And sharing Thy love and grace, Thy goodness and mercy, that is more precious than the corruptible gold that the people of this world crave for. Holy Father, we pray for our loved ones, those that we know, according to the relationship that we had with one another and the others that we never met. For Thy children, children of Thy covenant, and for those, O Heavenly Father, that Thou art drawing to Thee from the world, and the others that are still far away, O Father, bless Thy holy word. Gather Thy people, redeem Thy inheritance, and make us Thy faithful, beloved children of Thy covenant in Christ. Make us the followers of the Savior, the true disciples, and witnesses of Thy holy gospel. O Lord God Almighty, Thou reveal the beauty of Thy holy word. Manifest the power of Thy Spirit. Glorify Thy Holy Son, that in Him we also may glorify Thee this short time of our pilgrimage, and much more forever and ever in the blessed eternity. Amen. Again, dearly beloved, let us read from the book of Numbers, the fourth book of the scripture, chapter 21. Numbers, chapter 21, I desire that we read first 10 verses in our second reading today, this morning, with the help of the Lord. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither there is any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Obot. This part I desire to read from the Word of God. As the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness, through many difficult parts of that journey, surrounded by enemies from every side, and struggling against the elements of the nature, they often struggled with the difficulties in their own heart, you see. Just like the people that we read about, I think it's in the Epistle of Corinthians or maybe some other one, that Paul says that we should race in the race as one that is not beating the wind, but one that will earn or gain, receive the reward, the crown of victory. You see, if someone was forced to run in that race, not believing that he or she will ever receive that reward, but just compelled and forced to run, that would be an awful difficulty, a torture for that person. But there might be another person that is willingly running in that race, hoping, believing, having confidence, yes, I will gain the reward, I will be crowned with that crown of victory. And the same person that is willing, hoping and trusting is running through all of that effort, and if you like, suffering without suffering, because there is a desire and faith and hope in the reward, or in the one that will reward every faithful racer in that race. What I would like to share with you by these words or this example is that faith and love and hope make the difference between living in Christ and suffering because of the circumstances or traditions or religion. As the people of Israel journeyed through the wilderness toward the promised land, they came to a place where the Lord talked to Moses. The whole congregation of Israel journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And then the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. The whole congregation of the children of Israel was watching as Moses and Aaron and Eleazar, Aaron's son, were climbing up the slopes of the mountain Hor. They will never see Aaron again. Not in this life. Aaron is still has physical strength to climb up, to go up into that mountain. And Aaron knows that this is his last walk, his last climbing, his last journey on this earth. As we read here, and Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they three, Moses and Aaron and Eleazar, went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. So they came to the place which the Lord told them about. And now is the time. Aaron has to take off his garments. Moses, his younger brother, is going to strip him of his garments, priestly garments. Why could not Moses die in his priestly garments? Why could not Aaron die in his priestly garments? Thank you. Because the priestly garments indicated, or in a way prophesied, the coming of the priest that will take upon himself the load of our sins and offer himself as a sacrifice for the redemption. And that priestly garment signified that priesthood that will never die. That there will be a Redeemer that will represent his redeemed ones before God forever and ever. And that, in a way, means to me that forever, in eternity, in the heavenly glory, in that life that will never cease, in joy and gladness, we will always be represented and led by our great High Priest, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will always be the redeemed, and He will always be the Redeemer, our Prince, King, Lord and Master, our Savior. So, for Aaron, that time has come to remember that whatever was to be done is either done until now or will never be done by him. All of his sacrifices, all of his ministry, everything is ending now. Never again Aaron is going to make a golden calf for the people to worship. Never again will Aaron have to fall down on his face because the children of Israel are rebelling against the Lord. Never again will Aaron and Moses have to argue with the rest of the tribe of Levi about the selection of the priests. Never again will Moses put Aaron's rod with the rest of the rods of the tribe of Levites and the Levi and the rods of the elders of the people before the Lord, that the Lord will give a sign whom he has chosen to approach the altar in the most holy place. No. Once the Lord did that, and the rod of Aaron grew flowers, and by the morning time there were almonds on the rod. Now the fruit of all Aaron's labor and ministry is ripe, and the time for him is accomplished. He is going to face the God that he served. I wonder, beloved, what is the feeling, what is the experience of one taking off his garments, knowing that every moment he is closer to that final moment on this earth. So, they did it according to the word of God. They believed what God said and obeyed what God commanded. And the garments passed from Aaron to Eleazar. And now the young priest is in the priestly garment, and the old man is dying. Shortly after that, Moses and Eleazar buried the remains right there in that mountain. And Moses and Eleazar are coming down. Perhaps we can recall that Moses had two sons, his own sons. Perhaps he had more sons, but the two are recorded, and maybe he didn't have any more. I don't know. I didn't even search to find out. By this time, Moses might have had grandchildren. Did not Moses desire that one of his sons or his grandchildren be the great high priest in Israel? After all, Aaron did sin so many times, and so grievously. After all, Moses did lead the people through many difficulties. And God talked to Moses in a way that no one else experienced. But the ministry of Moses was a service to the Lord, not for Moses' personal, private will, prestige, desires. So as the Lord said, so it was. Well, that's not all. That priestly garment signified a priesthood that will never end in Christ. Not of the tribe of Levi, but according to the order of Melchizedek. And yet, when in their priestly garments, two sons of Aaron approached the altar of the Lord, having in their censers fire that was not from the Lord's altar, then a lightning struck them right there before the altar of the Lord, and they died. And that revealed to the children of Israel, and I believe to us today, that the outward appearance without inward obedience and faithfulness to the Lord is not going to stand before the Lord. The name is not sufficient if it's not recorded in two places. In the Word of God, the Book of Life, and in the heart of His people. So, at this time, Moses and Eleazar are coming down from the mountain. Three went up, and two of them are coming back. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days. Even all the house of Israel. Why did they mourn so long? Why? Was it not a wonderful way of dying? He went up. He was not carried by other people. Aaron walked up that mountain, and there he took off his priestly garments and just disappeared from this life into eternity. Ordained or elect leaders that will lead them back into the land of Egypt. Perhaps they remembered that they were the people that compelled Aaron to make them a golden calf and to arrange for idol worship and godless celebration. You see, they were not much different than the people nowadays. They needed some fun, some rejoicing. And yet, they didn't look for joy and gladness in the Lord, but in the customs, in the ugly practices of the idol worshippers. So, they mourned. They realized that they suffered a great loss by Aaron's departure, but the loss is recognized by the value of that is lost. And they realized the value, they understood the value just too late. He was gone. And so, long journey is ahead of them, and they want to continue. And King Herod the Canaanite, a very filthy, ugly nation that just did not call themselves worshippers of the devil, of Satan, and yet what they considered to be their godliness was just about the same, maybe even worse, than openly worshipping Beelzebub or Satan himself. That King Herod came with his armies against Israel, and in the first battle, some of the Israelites were captured, and they became captives, prisoners of war. And Israel is coming back into their camp. There was no victory in this battle. They were not terribly destroyed, but it was a very discouraging situation that some of the Israelites are taken prisoners. And so, instead of rebelling against the Lord, instead of saying, why did God allow that to happen? Instead of saying to Moses and Eleazar, why did you allow us? Why did you lead us into that battle? Look, we didn't have victory. It was a terrible thing. Instead of that, perhaps still having the departure of Aaron fresh in their memory, the children of Israel learned a better way of approaching their difficulties, their problems. They made a vow. they promised to the Lord, if the Lord will indeed deliver these people, their enemies, into their hand, if the Lord will give them to the Israelites, give victory, then, they said, we will utterly destroy their cities. But they don't say, we will, but each one says, I will. And for all of them, Moses and Eliezer say, I will. That was a personal decision. Each one of them to be fully dedicated to the Lord, to destroy the cities that the Lord told them to destroy. If we go back to the preceding books, when the Lord is talking to Moses about their task or the duty of the people of Israel as they are invading the land of Canaan, the promised land for them, we will recall that, and we will find that in the scripture as well, that the Lord said that the Canaanitish cities should be completely destroyed. Now they promised that, and they didn't. Because when they made the covenant with the Lord fulfilled that covenant for them. And that's the same thing today. None of us can enter into the promised land. None of us can serve the Lord in that new covenant in Christ, in that new fellowship of the Holy Spirit, without first promising and striving and doing. Total destruction of the old man. Because our old man is Canaan. A filthy man. Sinful man. Idol worshipper. Satan worshipper. So, by the destruction of everything that is old, we become dead to sin and world, and we receive and experience that new life in Christ. And that is our victory, for we place ourselves on the side of Him that is victorious, whose power will ultimately overcome all evil and is overpowering evil today in the lives and in the hearts of those that believe. So they journeyed by the way of the Red Sea. This could have reminded them how they passed through the Red Sea, how the Lord delivered them. But they went along the Red Sea shore to compass the land of Edom. Edom was their brother. If they went across the land of Edom, it would have been much easier. But their brother would not allow them to go. And the way, the journey along the Red Sea was very difficult. Well, geographically it's similar to Southern California. Try to travel by the ocean up north or down south without the roads and highways through the wilderness with their cattle, their elderly, their young ones. Very difficult. Rough road. And in struggling and striving
to advance as much as they could,
they neglect their worship and the road becomes unbearable. And the manna that they ate, they hate. They cannot take that anymore. And there is nothing else. And so they forget again their covenant. They forget the purpose of their journey. They forget whom they are serving and who is their Redeemer and their Protector. And they speak against God and Moses. Wherefore? Why? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, no food, no water. Well, then they look and they have some food and they still have some water. They say, we hate that what we have. Now in that wilderness there were fiery serpents, but somehow until this time they were protected. God did not allow those fiery serpents to harm the people of Israel. But now in their rebellion they have no God's protection and they are exposed to this danger. And the serpents are coming and just swarming through the camp of Israel. And many, many of them die. And now just let's think for a moment that experience. Crying against the name of the Lord, rebelling, and the next moment bitten by a snake. And now he knows that he is dying. And just like the thieves on the cross, one is dying and suffering in agony and still cursing the name of the Lord. Why? Why has God allowed that? Why did God bring us into this wilderness? Why did God lead us out of the land of Egypt? Why? But all the whys are not helping. He's dying. And yet he keeps to his last breath his rebellion. And then he died in his sin. Isn't that awful? But there are others, and they rebelled against the Lord, and they got bitten by the snakes, and they see that they are dying in their sin, and they see that their sense or their idea of righteousness or what is just and fair is really bringing them into death. And they see that they are judged and condemned for their rebellion, and they look to the serpent made of brass and lifted up on a pole, and they realize that all of their reasoning, all of their rebellion is just bringing them closer to death, and that only God can protect them and save them. They might have reminded themselves or recalled in their memory how they passed from the land of Egypt through the Red Sea. How the Lord delivered them and saved them from many difficult and dangerous situations. And they look with faith at that serpent that was raised on a pole. And they got healed. They did not die. You see, after they gave up all of their opposition to the Word of God, after they accepted that only God can save them, and believed and trusted the Lord for their salvation, they got healed and they lived. And then the children of Israel set forward. They made progress. They moved ahead. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, as that serpent was lifted up, so the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. And all those in whose faith the Son of Man is lifted up as the Son of God, they shall live. He will draw their souls to Himself. So, what we can see here, beloved, that from the beginning to the end of the Scripture, we see the Lord God Almighty as the Creator and as the Savior. We might not understand, we might not be able to understand everything that God is doing. I know, I don't understand everything. But trusting the Lord and submitting to His will and being willing to be led by Him, we are also protected by Him. And so He will make our journey prosperous, and we will reach that heavenly home by His grace, with His help, led by His Spirit, instructed by His Word. So to Him belong worship and praise, honor and glory. He is worthy to be trusted. He is worthy that we always belong to Him. May He give us the grace and that humble and contrite heart to follow Him, be His people. For soon our journey will be ended, and that eternal, blessed, promised land will be open for all those that will praise and glorify His name through that endless eternity. Amen.